It's a blessing to be able to speak to you this morning by the grace of Almighty God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I recognize my great need of His presence in an effort to preach, and I ask each of you just to pray specifically that the Lord would supply what we need in a preaching way, and that He would also supply to you what you need in a hearing way to help us as we live here in this old world. And a world is full of all kinds of trouble. We've mentioned many of them that we've experienced here in our little church, but each of us no doubt carry so many other things, so many things I don't know about this morning that you need. And that's why it's important for us to trust in the Lord and depend upon the Lord for our direction in preaching. And I certainly feel that need this morning and ask each of you just to pray for me. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you today, again, from a passage I used just a couple weeks ago. But it is still upon my mind this morning. It's found in the book of Jude. And if you'll turn to the book of Jude, which is just one chapter, we want to read beginning at about the 17th verse, and we'll read down through the 25th verse, which is to the end of the chapter. In the book of Jude, verses 17 through 25. The book of Jude is just before the book of Revelation, written by the apostle, the brother of James, as he says in the first verse, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's part of God's word, so it's written by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And in the book of Jude, beginning at verse 17, he says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able, keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." These thoughts have been very much on my mind this week as well as this morning. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." There are many teachings that are going on in the world today that are not correct. That men are standing in pulpits in some cases, and other places or positions of authority and leadership, and trying to teach people how best to live their lives in a way to get along in this world. And there's much misinformation, much instruction that's not godly instruction, much counsel that's not godly counsel. And this warning is to God's little children not to get discouraged by all of the false teaching and all of the vain, empty thoughts and all of the things that are going on around us that would discourage you as God's little children and cause you to doubt the things that you have been taught from God's Word. There's also an encouragement for us to grow in the things that the Bible teaches and to learn them and use that to help us understand what isn't the truth so that we'll know which way to go. No doubt you've become discouraged at times when you hear a lot of men speak from the Bible And they all speaking supposedly from the Bible, and yet all have different ideas and different viewpoints, different views about what is being taught. And we might think because of that, well, has God just kind of left us in the dark? Is there any truth in this world? How do we know what's right? How do we know what's wrong? How can we discern the truth? And that's an important question this morning. I believe you want to know the truth. I believe you have a desire to know the truth. I don't believe you want to be walking in error. Sometimes the idea is that if you're just sincere about it, if you just really believe it, if you're sincere and if you feel good about it, then that's okay. And as long as you're sincere about it, you can just believe anything. Well, that's simply not the truth, and it's part of what these mockers would have us to believe. There are many that would say whatever you believe is okay, but that's not what the Lord says. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And we're laid down in the Scripture that if there is the way, then there are many ways that are not the way. And you and I to strive to enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way. Because broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. Few there are that find that straight and narrow way. Now, we're not talking about how to get on a path that gets you to heaven and avoid a path that leads you to hell. We believe, because the Bible teaches, that God's children that are in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people are secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for them. And there is not any possibility that one that Jesus loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world will ever be separated from His love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We believe the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. That's what the Bible says. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And those that are His by His grace and what He has done for them and what they could not do for themselves. What they would not have done, what they could not have done, He did for them when He came and died for them and paid their sin debt at Calvary. That's what Jesus did when He came. He came for those given to Him of the Father. Those that the Father gave in Him, have given Him, do come to Him. And they come in regeneration. That is where they're brought from death and sin, which they were born in, to life in Christ, where the Holy Spirit speaks life unto them, and they all hear the voice of the Son of God, and they hear Him say, live. And the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John 5:25 says that. And they're quickened and made alive. Today, I believe I'm speaking to those who have already been made alive and quickened by the grace of God. I don't believe my preaching could ever make one that is dead alive, no more than if I went to the cemetery today and preached and would cause anyone, or could cause anyone that's dead in the grave to come forth a resurrected. There's a voice much more powerful than the preacher's voice that has to be sounded in order for the dead to live. And one day, when the Lord comes again, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, will sound. And the dead that are in the graves will come forth, both the just and the unjust. The just to the resurrection of life, and the unjust to the punishment that is there and would be ours were it not for the grace of Almighty God, to everlasting destruction, everlasting punishment. And we believe that that work of Jesus on the cross, the Bible teaches that that work of Jesus on the cross was sufficient to save all that were given to the Father in covenant before the very foundation of the world, given by the Father to the Son in covenant before the foundation of the world, and that the Holy Spirit works by His divine power in the hearts of His people somewhere between conception when life begins and death when the spirit and soul leave this body. All of them are called effectually by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe if you're alive today, I do believe from the Scripture, if you're alive today, I don't have to ask who made you. It is not you who made yourselves. It's not the preacher who made you. It's not the combination of you and the preacher and the Lord who made you. You are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Therefore today we are here to give Him the glory and the honor and the majesty and the dominion and the glory. And that means we don't make Him powerful. We don't make Him have dominion. We don't make Him have majesty. But we acknowledge, I want to acknowledge in my preaching today, the one who has majesty. That means He's sovereign. He has all power. I want to acknowledge the one who is due all glory, because all power resides in Him. Everything good in my life has come from Him. Everything that's worthwhile about me, if I have anything at all, is that which He's given me. And I need Him today in order to get through this day and this moment. I need Him to help me preach. I need Him to help you, bless you to hear. I need Him in every aspect of my life. I need Him today, and if tomorrow comes, I'm going to need Him in every day of my life. And with Him, life is worth the living. With Him and without Him, I can do nothing. And so unto Him, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now, right now, and how long? Forever. Forever. Now, we've had a lot of reasons today to hear about things that could discourage us. I mean, a lot of things happening in this world, and we have those circumstances hit us all the time. And if they're not hitting you, hanging there long enough, they'll hit you. They'll come to your family. They'll come to your home. They'll come in your door. They'll come in your life. There are sicknesses that we would rather not have to go through. There are problems in our family that we would rather not had to face. There's trouble that goes on in my mind that I'd rather not have to go through, but it just as a part of life and as a part of being in this world. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job said that, and we have that. And you and I are there here in this world waiting, looking for a blessed hope. There's good news. The Lord's coming. The good news is the Lord's coming. And that's good for down the road, isn't it? The Lord's coming. But what about right now? What about from here to there? Well, He says that dominion is His today. Power is His today. Glory is His today. And majesty is His today. And because it is His, and I belong to Him, I'm all right. And you belong to Him, you're all right. And as a minister of the gospel, I want you to know that. I want you to feel that. I want you to understand that. And I want you to build yourself up in that. You know, there's a lot of ways men build themselves up. And many of those ways are empty, vain ways. Sometimes men think, well, I can get enough education. They build themselves up into education. And the wiser they seem to become, the more foolish they really are. And if a man thinks he knows anything at all, then let him become a fool that he might know. And let us remember this. The wisdom that you and I need, the most important wisdom of all, there are many things that are beneficial to you in this world. I'm saying to you as a little child of God today, the most important thing you can know in your life as a little child of God today is what this Bible teaches you. What's found in the Word of God. And if you know that, all of the wisdom in this world can be put in its right place and be of benefit to you. If you do not know that, all of that wisdom of this world will lead you to a path that would say even there is no God. And you know what the Bible says about that? It is the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. There are a lot of smart people today that have a whole lot more gray matter, a lot more brain cells than I ever will hope to have, that will stand before people today and tell you, if you have a lick of sense, one of the things you ought to know is that we're here all alone and there is no God. I'm saying to you, no matter how men might think they're smart, I'm telling you that's the fool, because the wisdom of God's Word tells me the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And a little child that understands that there is a God and is looking to Him is walking in a wisdom that the wisest of men cannot know outside of the grace of God. Now, I have a good news today for you. If you can know that, do you believe there's a God? Certainly silly to be sitting here at church today if you didn't believe there was a God. Certainly silly for us to pray today to a God we didn't believe exists. Certainly there's an operation that has taken place in our life if we are able to believe in God, because the way we know God, the way we know that He created the worlds, is not by us guessing about it or thinking or hoping it to be, but God has allowed us to know it, and the way we know it is by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've got substance and evidence that men without faith don't have. Do you understand that? And all the wisdom that the world might give you, and all the teachings that the world might give you that are void of faith and don't operate in faith and is not built on the substance and the evidence that God has given, even a little child that understands God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe this big world was made by Him. As a matter of fact, looking at this world, it seems foolish to me to think that there's no God, because I see so much evidence that shows otherwise. It speaks to me, doesn't it? You? It speaks to me. His creation speaks to me. When the storms come, His power speaks to me. When the birds sing, they not only sing praises to the world or to the earth, they sing praises to the Father, the Creator, the One who made the heavens and the earth. Every day speaks and others knowledge. And the knowledge of the creation is the same as the message of the Bible, in that there is a Creator who has all power. Power, dominion, majesty, and power both now and ever belongs to Him. Y'all believe that? Do you believe that? I hope you believe it. I hope we can believe it more. Can you believe it more today than you did yesterday? I believe you can. And can you believe it more the next day? Yes, because the Bible says for us to be rooted and grounded in faith, to be rooted and grounded in His love. That means we need to dig deep into this, and the more we look and learn from His Word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the more we learn, the more our faith grows, and the more we see the evidence, the more we see the substance, and the more able you are to face whatever may come. And you have no clue what's coming this week. You have no clue. I don't know what's going on with you right now, but I'm saying to you from the Word of God, His faith is sufficient for you. And His love will hold on to you. And there's nothing that can separate you from His love. And there's nothing that is too great for His faith. If you use and exercise the faith that the Lord has given you, it will quench every fiery dart of the wicked. Now, if we have that shield and it's down by our side, rather than using it and operating in it, and as we face troubles in this world, we might get hit by a lot of things. God's children can get in a real bad way in this world. And He mentions what to do when we find God's little children in a bad way. And that's wonderful language too. He says, but beloved, remember. I want you to remember. I'm not telling you anything new today. I old Baptists like new old stuff, not new stuff. We don't want a new doctrine. We don't want a new gospel. We don't want a new Savior. We don't want a new plan. We don't want a new updated methodology. We want to use what's been given and first given unto the apostles, and given by Jesus, and we want to earnestly contend for that faith once delivered to the saints. And that's why our service is simple, our practice is simple, because what the Bible says we want, and what it doesn't say we want to leave alone. And we don't want to do it with arrogance, we want to do it with meekness, because I tell you today, if it were not for the grace of God, this old man and you and all of us together would be among the mockers. We'd be right out there in the crowd saying, you know, I think that bunch of over there, that old fogey bunch, they are so backward. they need something better. I'll tell you what I have found. I have found in the simplicity of practice, of the simplicity of the gospel, in the ordinances given unto the church of baptism and communion, I've seen some of the most beautiful pictures. I've seen some of the greatest testimony in the simplicity of the gospel. I've heard men without any so-called worldly education, and I've heard men that had loads of worldly education that would come to the pulpit, and rather than trust in their inability or their ability, trust in the Lord's ability and be blessed to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit, where they seem to reach right down into my heart and my mind as I sit on the pulpit, sit on the pew, and be fed from the Scripture, the Word of God. And it gives God the glory and the honor and the praise. Listen, salvation is of the Lord. What Jesus did, He didn't try to do, He didn't want to do. He did it. He completed it. He finished it. And heaven is sure for God's little children. And not only that, God's people can live in this life, in this world, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of problems, and in the face of mockers. By the way, if you read 14, 15, and 16 in this same chapter, if you read those passages, you'll see that God will deal with those mockers, and the way that He will deal with them will silence all their mocking and all that they say in the face of Almighty God. At one day, every tongue will confess, every knee shall bow and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. I believe that because the Bible teaches it. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes there, another one of the apostles says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Today, what I want to appeal to is your pure mind. Your pure mind is the one that the Lord has given you in the new birth. That mind, the Apostle Paul said that he saw a law roaring in his members that went contrary to the way of God. But he saw, in his mind and in his heart, there was a new thought and a new mind in his heart that the Lord had given him. And he delighted in the law of God. He said, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." And you probably understand, because God's little children do, that in us we got a warfare going on. We got a spiritual man, we've got the outer man, we got the inner man, and there's a conflict going on. Sometimes we know we ought not be thinking like this, but we're thinking like that anyway. We know we ought to be doing better, but we're not doing better. And we get in a place for it. What is it that we're to do? And here he says this second epistle, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." Today I want to stir up your pure minds. And how do we do that? By way of remembrance. I'll tell you what I told you last Sunday. So if you say, "Well, I heard this last Sunday," good. I hope you'll hear it next Sunday too. I hope that the message of salvation by grace is preached every Sunday. I hope it's declared. I hope the sovereignty of God is declared every Sunday. I hope the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is declared every Sunday. That He is our Redeemer, who has redeemed us and washed us by His own blood. Who has even foreknown His people and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, and called them effectually by His power, and justified them through His shed blood, and will one day glorify them, where all of them, without the loss of one, will be with Him in heaven in immortal glory. I hope you hear that every Sunday. I hope it's reminded every time you come to the house of God, you're reminded that you've got a God worthy of your trust. That when David trusted in Him, the Lord kept him in the face of mighty obstacles. A Goliath stood there in front of a little lad, a David. But David had the experience of trusting the Lord when the bear and the lion had come, and the Lord had sustained him there and helped him as he was a little shepherd boy. And now, as he's standing before a mighty giant who's standing there mocking, don't you think he was mocking? He was saying, "Just bring out somebody. Just bring them out." David looked at him and wasn't afraid of him, because he realized this man, though he's a mighty man, and oh, he would have been a mighty sight to see. And you would have thought, "I've got to fight him." To think about, you know, being in a fight, you kind of look at your opposition and go like, "Okay, what's he look like? Is he big? Is he little?" And if he's little, you don't feel too bad. But if he's big, you go like, "Oh, this could be bad." And you go into that battle, you might not be thinking about much. But I'm telling you, if you look at a giant and a little David, no doubt there were Philistines sitting there looking, saying, "Oh, this is going to be something. He's going to wipe him out." David didn't see that. David saw a giant who was he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. That's what he said. He said, "Who are you, this uncircumcised Philistine, that defies the armies of the living God?" I'm telling you, we're looking at a world today and problems in your life that will overwhelm you, that seem like Goliaths, don't they? You got a problem that's like a Goliath? I'm telling you, on your own, if David had gone in that battle on his own, if David had taken the counsel of Saul, remember Saul? Saul said, David, oh, you going to battle? I wouldn't do that, but if you're going, let me give you some armor. You know, isn't it funny how the old those who won't go will tell you how to do it? Those who aren't in the battle, they'll tell you how to win it. And if you ask for the advice of this world, you'll get that kind of advice. You want to go to the world for advice? They'll give you Saul's advice. What Saul said is, I've got some armor. Saul, if you got armor, Saul, wear it. Go on into the battle yourself. But no, he wasn't going to do that. And his armor wouldn't hold up. I'm telling you, Saul's armor is like our armor in the flesh. It's no good in the flesh. David had what God had given him, just a few stones and a sling. Five smooth stones. And with those five smooth stones, by the way, you know who makes stones? By definition, they're not man-made. A stone is not man-made. They said it's made in nature. Can I say to you, and you believe this, that when you're talking about things naturally made, you're talking about what God made. And he gave him those stones, and he gave that to go into battle with, and that stone found its place. And I don't believe it was because David just was such a proven shot. I don't believe he was, you know, I don't believe it was just because of David's. David would not have had any of the glory in that, because dominion didn't belong to David. Majesty didn't belong to David. Power didn't belong to David. None of those things belonged to David. They were the Lord's. Back in the Old Testament, they're the Lord's today, and they'll be the Lord's in the future. I'm just saying to you, when you go into the battle with God's armor, you'll have sufficiency. And when you go into battle with anything else, you're going to have a fall. And God's little children can fall. Not fall completely away from God. I'm so thankful for that. But they can stumble in this old world. Have you ever stumbled? You ever been in a place you thought you'd never be? Yeah, I've been in places I thought, well, if I get out of this place, I'll never get there again, because I know better next time. And the next thing you know, find myself right back in that same place again. And it seems my life is a picture of that, where I'm continually going back to some things that I thought I had. Have you ever thought you got this past yet? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to think this anymore. I'm not going to have that battle anymore. And yet you find yourselves right in it again. And sometimes you find yourself stumbling. That's why we're to look to the Lord for mercy, not merit. I need His mercy. But I also want to look for Him, to Him for strength. Because believe me, when I trust Him and I lean upon Him, I will have what I need. And when I fail to, I'll be like the heath in the desert that can't even see when good things come. When we do look to Him and trust in Him, we're like a tree planted by the water. We're talking about two living plants, by the way, not dead things. We're talking about God's little children that are alive. But one of them looks dead. It's alive, but it looks dead. One of them is alive, and it looks alive. I want God. Isn't it wonderful to see God's children look alive? Not look like the world, not act like the world, not look like the heath that's dead, even though it's living, but alive. That means trusting in the Lord, depending upon the Lord. He said, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. But that's what preaching does. Preaching stirs up your pure mind by way of remembrance. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. By the way, what is he telling us to remember? The things written by the holy prophets. That's the Old Testament. And of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. That's the New Testament. So we got right here in the Word of God, both Old Testament and New Testament, that we're to be stirring our minds upon and building ourselves up in the most holy faith. That's what he's talking about. He says that these things were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And that is where we would be without the Lord. Without the Lord, a man can't preach. And if it's a little child of God and he gets in the flesh, he can't preach. And if it's a man who's not a little child of God, he doesn't have the Spirit, and he'll never be able to preach. And if we come today trusting in the flesh, we become sensual and we walk outside of the Spirit. But when we come trusting in the Lord, that's why today I want you to really work at it. I want you to labor. Because, you know, the old devil will come right here and sit down in this church and take your mind and thought somewhere else. He'll take you away from the Word of God. He'll take you away from building up yourself in the most holy faith. He'll fill your heads with doubt right in the midst of a church meeting. He'll take your minds and thoughts away from those things. And what I want us to realize today, as we trust in the Lord for what He gives us right now, we can trust in Him for the rest of this day. And when it comes Monday, we can trust in Him. And Tuesday, if our religion is only on Sunday, if we're just good old Baptists on Sunday and the rest of the week we're just right with the world, we're like the heath in the desert. Let's just look at that real quick. I know I mentioned it many times, but it's a beautiful passage. Even over in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. We have a thus saith the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departed from the Lord. Here we have a curse that takes place in the life of even a little child of grace. And how do we know that this is possibly talking about a little child of grace? Well, it is talking about a child of grace because it says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. When God's little children start trusting in man and that they make flesh their arm, and it means I'm going to handle it, you know. Or we get the counsel of men saying, we can handle it. We'll go our way, do it our way. And if we start trusting in man, and he maketh flesh his arm, and get this, whose heart does what? It departs from the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that. If I'm departing from Front Royal, that means where am I? I have to be where? To depart from Front Royal, I have to be where? I have to be at Front Royal. If I'm departing from Front Royal, I have to be at Front Royal. Isn't that correct? I can't be in Strasburg and depart from Front Royal from Strasburg. Can't do that. I got to be at Front Royal to depart from Front Royal. This is one who trusts in man and maketh his flesh his arm, whose heart is doing what? Departed from the Lord. If his heart departed from the Lord, his heart had to be at one time with the Lord. Does that make sense? If he's departing from the Lord, his heart has to be with the Lord. And so his heart is with the Lord. Now, does he lose his eternal salvation? 1,000 times no. Because he didn't do anything to merit his salvation. That was given to him by the grace of Almighty God. And just as he didn't do anything to merit, there's nothing he can do to lose it. His heart departs from the Lord because he gets his heart off the things of the Lord. And he starts thinking about the counsel. He's following the counsel and the advice of others and the other away from God's Word. And what happens to a little child of God when he does that? Verse 6, he shall be like the heath in the desert. And if you study the heath a little bit, we're talking about a scrub bush in the desert. It's alive, but it looks dead. You've seen those bushes in the desert that look dead. You look at it, that's a dead bush. It's not dead. It just looks dead. It just acts like it's dead. Can we examine our lives and see in the past where there have been times, though we believe today, and I fully hope and pray that I'm a little child of God, I can look at times in my life where I surely didn't look like a little child of God. I surely wasn't thinking like a little child of God. I certainly wasn't acting like a child of God. I wasn't putting a witness out that I was a child of God. Times when somebody's made me mad and I've lost my temper. And none of y'all do that, but I do that every once in a while, and I lose my temper and act, and I say things that, boy, that's a preacher that acts like that. Am I proud that I do that? No. And am I giving an excuse for that? 1,000 times no. Should we be better? Yes. But I'm saying God's little children sometimes get in a state where our heart departs from the Lord and we follow a counsel that should not be followed. What I'm encouraging you to do is to do that as little as possible as you can in this world. Which means as much as we can, let's not do that. He says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. Now I want you to get this point. There are times good comes in our life, and you and I can't see it. Can you think about times where you're thinking, boy, nothing's good. Everything's rotten. My life's a mess. Everything's bad. Nothing good has ever happened to me. And that's the way you feel. Well, Is that a correct statement? Absolutely not. What has happened? Our heart has departed from the Lord. And he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. Good comes, but they can't see it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. Parched places are places where there's no water. No, it's dry, it's barren. Now, the whole world looks dry and barren. This is not a happy little bush, so to speak. And God's little children in this state are not happy children. Oh, I want you to be happy today in the Lord. I don't want you to be happy in your own self. I don't want you to be happy in what you've done. But I want you to be joyous and thankful in what He's done for you. And I want you to go out of here not looking like heath bushes. Not looking like you're in a dry, in a parched place in the wilderness. In a salt land and not inhabited. Did good come to the heath bush? Yes. But it can't see it when it comes. And I'll tell you, the Lord every day fills your life and my life with benefits and blessings. He said that in His Word. He daily loads us with benefits and blessings. And on those days where we feel like He hadn't done that today, it isn't that He didn't do it, it's that we can't see it because we have allowed our hearts to depart from the Lord. And then verse 7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." That means he exercises his faith by the grace of God, and he trusts in the Lord, and the Lord is his hope. Today I want us to see the Lord as our hope. Listen, with the Lord we have all that we need. He is our great physician. He is our redeemer. He's my wisdom. He's my righteousness. He's my sanctification. He's my redemption. He's the keeper of my household. He is the one who blesses me on the job. He's the one who blessed me on the highway between home and the job. He's the one who supplies what I need every day. He's the one who has been with me in the past. It's grace that's brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me on. And I want to testify that to my wife at home. I want to say it to my children. I want to say it over and over again. I want my life to reflect my belief in that. And I want to be like that tree planted by the water. That's what he said. He says, the man who's, and by the way, that man is blessed. If you're able to trust in the Lord, it's because the Lord's made you alive and because he's given you faith. And as you use that faith and trust in him, be thankful that he's given. Don't get prideful about that. It's only by God's grace that you have it. But use it. And when you start doubting, remember to come back to his word. And he addresses some things we can do a little later on if we probably don't get there. Nope. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. That's, get it. What happens to that tree? That spreadeth out of roots by the river. Now, let me tell you, we've got a river of God's love flowing from the throne of God, supplying what we need as God's little children. He's given us His Word where if we read it and feed upon it and learn and grow in it, His Word is as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it'll help us in this old troubled world. And we want to be rooted and grounded in it, which means I don't want just a surface knowledge of His Word. I want to read it. If we're not reading His Word, if we're not feeding upon His Word, if we're not sitting hearing the gospel preached, we're not feeding and being rooted in His Word. It's not bringing forth fruit in our life. He says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out of roots by the river, and shall not see when heat come." Now, what's the difference between the heath and the tree planted? But the one can't see when good comes. The other one can't see when heat comes. Now, does heat come to the tree planted by the water? Absolutely. Heat comes. But I'll tell you what. The eyes that are on the Lord, when Peter's eyes were on the Lord, did a raging sea give him any problem at all? No, he was able to walk on the water when his eyes were on the Lord. And when he got his eyes off the Lord, what happened? He went down in the water. So when we're going down in the water, we need to remember to keep our eyes. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And keep your eyes looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. "He shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green." That means it looks alive. You look at a tree that's got, you see the greenery that comes, you know that's something living. You see something all dried up, it looks dead. It may not be dead, but it surely looks dead. God's children ought not look dead. And if we look dead, then we need to awake, thou that sleepest. You're not dead, just you're asleep. "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful, that is full of care, in the year of drought. You're going to have a year of drought. You're going to have those dry times. But I don't have to be full of care. You know why? Because the Lord who took care of God's little children in the past, the Lord who was with David, the Lord who was with Daniel in the lion's den, and the three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace, the Lord that delivered the children of Israel across the Red Sea, through the Red Sea on dry land, the Lord who took them through the wilderness and brought them into Canaan's land, the Lord who has been with us in our lives, the Lord who's called us from death to life, the Lord who supplied, just look at our lives. He so loaded our lives with blessings and benefit. How could we not trust Him today for all that He's done for us? And above everything, He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I have might have life and have it more abundantly. And that life is eternal. We shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Verse 20, he says, But ye beloved, and I'm back over in Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You and I need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have the Comforter that's been given to us, that's with us? And when we pray, we don't know. You ever get to pray and you don't know how to pray? You don't know what to pray for? The Bible teaches us that in Romans 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And if we look to the Lord, sometimes we don't even know what to ask. But we can trust Him even for that. To know that He'll supply unto us what we stand in need of. And yet we're to pray without ceasing. Pray and not faint. We're to trust Him and pray to Him. And when you're feeling like you're just not going to make it, just look to the Lord. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to say this to you. This doesn't mean that you're able to get into His love on your own and then stay in your love by your power and your ability. His love for you is unconditional and everlasting. If He's ever loved you, He always has loved you. God does not change. He changes not. And His love is unconditional, and His love is everlasting. His love is eternal, and nothing can separate you from His love. And if you love Him at all, it's because He's first loved you. And if He's ever loved you, He will always love you, and He'll never stop loving you. Even the prodigal son, when he left home, didn't stop being the son of his father. He still was loved by his father, and when he came home, the father showed him that love, but he didn't enjoy the manifestation of that love while he was out there away from the father's house. Just like sometimes you and I as God's children get outside of His love, not His love that He loves us, but the manifestation of it, where we feel it. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Sometimes you wonder, does He love me? Well, when you're outside of that, I want you to know the Bible teaches that He loves you and He always loves you, and you want to keep yourself in that. That means keep yourself in the knowledge of that. Listen, if you didn't have anybody else to love you today and the Lord loved you, you all right. You okay. You say, well, I don't know whether... Does God love you? If He loves you, then He'll always love you, and He's shown He's loved you, and therefore, because He loves us with such a great love, we are to love Him. And how do we love Him? We keep His commandments. So how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? By doing what He tells us. By being obedient children. And that doesn't mean He keeps loving you because of that. It means He manifests His love to you and allows you to see His love. Isn't that wonderful when you can see His love and you feel His love? When you hear that still small voice say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You feel that peace that comes in your heart. And that's why He said, keep yourselves in the love of God and looking for the mercy. I like that. He didn't say looking for what you deserve. A lot of men think I'm living so good, I'll just get what I deserve. I'll tell you, you don't want what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I'm looking for His mercy. And His mercy is everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That means from now on unto eternal life. And then he talks about others of God's children. How we're to help one another. He says, and of some have compassion, make a difference. Listen, as a little child of God, you and I are duty bound to help others of God's little children. We see them struggling and bumping into things in this world. We're to have compassion on them. We're to love them. God's loved us. We think about all God's forgiven us. If I can help them in any way, I want to help them, don't you? If I can encourage them to get out of that and get on the right path, I want to do that. And he says, He says, as of some have compassion, making a difference. And we're talking about those whom God has blessed to be able to see and understand the things that you might say to them that are the truth. There are some people you can say the truth to and they just don't have an eye to see it or ear to hear it or heart to understand it. But there are God's little children who can know these things and understand these things. And when I find one of them with compassion and love, not in high-mindedness or haughtiness, but I want to help them. I want to share this gospel. I want to share the truth. I believe it's good for every one of God's children to recognize God's sovereignty. I believe it's good for all of God's children to recognize the salvation is of the Lord and give the Lord the praise for that. And they need to understand that they might have peace about it. And others save with fear. How do you save them? Not eternally, but you help them from doctrinal error and from problems in this world. When we share the Bible and the truths of the Bible and God's little children are converted by that and they understand the truth and they change from one course and go another course, there's a great deliverance in that. There's a salvation in that for God's people. It's not eternal, but it's here in time. It's a timely, temporal deliverance that God's children find in being obedient to the Word of God. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That means don't get down. Be careful because you can get down in there with them. Sometimes you can get, but it doesn't mean, but are we supposed to reach out to them? Absolutely. Listen, aren't you thankful God's grace has allowed us to see what we've been enabled to see? And if we can help someone else see those things, may the Lord bless us. He says, now unto him, and I'll close with this, now unto him that is able. Isn't it good to know he's able to keep you from falling? Are you able to keep from falling? Not you, but can the Lord keep you from falling? That's what he says. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. You know how he's going to present us faultless? Not because we got it all right, but because of his shed blood. Present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Won't it be a wonderful day when we're there in the presence of his glory, when we see him as he is? And in the presence of his glory, you're talking about joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've had some happy times here in this world, but it's nothing like it's going to be when the Lord returns. And he says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. And he says, amen. I hope we all say in our hearts, a hearty amen to what's written here in God's Word. It is the truth. Keep yourselves in the love of God means to keep yourself in the way of God, to walk in that path. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. I appreciate your kind attention.
Brother Gary, can we sing 435?
What number, sister?
435.
435.